The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. On this edition of the show, we visit with Pro Farmers Jim Wiesmeyer about the 2020 presidential election. How tight is the race and who will come out on top? And who will control Congress and what impact will this year's voting have on agriculture in 2021 and beyond? It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. It's time to rethink nitrogen. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. 2019 performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. And for more information on Pivot BioProven, just text PROVEN to 31313. We are a little over 2 months away from the national election on November 3rd. If you believe the polls, you already have your mind made up for who you'll vote for president. Very few are still undecided. But how much stock do we take in those polls? What will make the difference in tilting the race toward the Republicans or Democrats? And could one party win a trifecta, the Oval Office and both houses of Congress? Jim Wiesmeyer has the pulse of Washington, D.C. and knows plenty of people in the governmental machinery of both parties. We talked about the upcoming vote, where the outcome may be headed, and the possible policy implications. Jim Wiesmeyer joins me, pro farmer, and all things going on in D.C. and really the nation. Jim, I know your schedule's busy. I really appreciate the time to visit as we get ready for an election now about, 75 days away or so, right?
Yeah, we're now on a countdown basis. Once the conventions get through, this week with the Democrats, next week with the Republicans, then the campaigns really begin.
How are you? I don't know if you use the word like, but what do you think of these virtual conventions? It's obviously different. Are you watching a lot, or how are you consuming the conventions?
Well, I watch highlights. I began when I had a double earache when I was in grade school. When Kennedy got elected, and I got the political bug from that because I had to watch the Democratic, convention at that time. That's when it was gavel to gavel and far different. But it is different. I miss the old convention, but yet I thought the Democrats scored Tuesday night when they had their roll call vote, when they went around the states. Actually, I thought it was better than a normal convention because it let the states truly come out and get a little crazy on their state issues.
On all different types of issues, I've asked this question several times, so I'll ask it of conventions. Are there any things that we take away from this year that we've done different with these conventions that you think we say, hey, in 4 more years, let's just keep doing it that way? That was a lot better.
It would save a lot of money, but this is just an excuse to have a super party. It's like a tailgate party for politicians. I think they'll want to go back to it, and frankly, I don't blame them. But it isn't as good as the real thing, in my judgment.
Sure. Let's talk about where we sit right now. The polls are important, we think, but certainly we look back 4 years and people will say, well, hey, the polls weren't right, although I think they were still within the margin of error, but it was perhaps different than what we thought. Where do you think we sit right now? How much stock should we take in polls? Some people say, well, you can't believe the polls, but you're there in D.C. Where do we sit right now in this election?
I don't believe the polls. After 2016, I think a number of states were outside the polling air. I think it's the way these polls are put together, especially national. Always watch the state polls. I think that they know their audience, better. And even though President Trump is behind Biden right now, from anywhere from 9 to 11 points, depending on the poll, an actual CNN was, lower than that. And that's interesting. They usually narrow the closer you get to the election. And I think that will be the case again, this year.
certainly the state polls you've got to watch, because obviously Electoral College. So when you look at some of those states that were so important 4 years ago, are those states changing at all? Still probably just as narrow as it had been? Or what do you see in some of those key states?
All the key states, and I'm going to add one. There's seven key states: Florida, which has 29 electoral votes, Arizona 11, Michigan 16, North Carolina 15, Pennsylvania 20, Wisconsin 10, and I'm adding in Minnesota, because Trump lost Minnesota in 2016 by under 46,000 votes. So he's going to focus. He's already, you know, toward Minnesota Monday, you know, this week, and he's going to go back several times. Now, of those states I mentioned, Arizona and Wisconsin look to be the two states that, if it is close — there's a conditional there — if it's really close, most of the experts tell me it'll boil down to Arizona and Wisconsin.
And you believe really the race is those races then that you just mentioned, those states will probably determine who is the next president?
Absolutely. Now, if Trump were to lose Florida, it's over, you know, but he can't lose one farm state this year that he won in 2016. So that makes Iowa — I think they have, six electoral votes — that makes Iowa very important for Trump. And that's why he went there, you know, for other reasons, but he went there, Tuesday, to look at that, devastating, derecho that occurred August the 10th. But he knows that he has to answer to all the rural voters in Iowa. And it's interesting on the rural vote. I know Farm Journal Pulse poll out earlier this week showed 82% of rural voters for Donald Trump and 13% for Joe Biden. The key there is I'm hearing much more intelligent commentary coming from the Democratic Party this year relative to other years I've covered events, and that is they know that they can't carry the rural sector, but they want to cut into the margin of the usual 62% or so Republican vote in the rural countryside. That's smart politics, because in a number of those seven states that I mentioned before, that can make a difference, tilting toward the Democrats versus the Republicans.
So when you've heard those conversations, what does that look like? What are they doing then to appeal to those rural voters and hopefully cut into that margin?
Well, you always go on fear, okay? And they're going to go, they're hyping on the trade policy of President Trump, the farm income, even though it started going down in the last few years of the Obama administration. So they're going right for the jugular on that. And they're also going for, foreign policy in general. That usually means if you're a Democrat, you go after the term corporate agriculture. Big is bad in many in the Democratic Party, and they're going to run that gamut as well.
Do you think that the feeling in rural America, farm country, has changed a lot from 4 years ago? What is your feel on where rural and farm America is at right now?
Well, I always like the anecdotal evidence I get through my many speeches in farm country, but this epidemic has floored me here in my house. But I do get a lot of emails, and frankly, I'll back up the, Farm Journal Pulse poll. I don't see a regression from Trump. Now, I don't know how thick that, support is, but I don't see a major wavering. There are some exceptions. I mentioned Iowa earlier. If Trump does not block those waivers, not just deal with them, he has to block those renewable fuel standards waivers, it could penetrate, that vote in Iowa. It was close in 2016. So, these rural issues are very important, and that's just one example of how a key farm and energy policy vote could come back to either help or hurt a presidential candidate.
You led me where I wanted to go to talk through some of these issues. You brought up the waivers there. Where do you think we stand on now, and what do you think will happen? Are you hearing much out there?
Well, Trump hasn't addressed it directly until yesterday when Senator Joni Ernst, who's in a very close re-election race with Teresa Greenfield. She pressed him on it, and Trump finally said, okay, I'll talk with EPA myself about it. Now, on AgriTalk, I know Chip Flory has been saying, when is it going to catch President Trump's attention? It has caught his attention. Now we're going to have to see what he does in a follow-up, because if they just pump this issue until after November 3rd elections, voters are far more intelligent than that. So we're going to have to, see, what Trump announces in the next few months. Usually, my White House sources tell me they don't understand this issue because the Trump administration has guaranteed a 15 billion gallon RFS mandate for next year, including the waivers. But frankly, many of the biofuel proponents and corn-based ethanol supporters don't trust the administration on this issue, having been burned many times before.
Relief package, stimulus, we're all over the place about when we're going to come back and vote and do different things. What's the latest on what you're hearing?
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signaled a little give yesterday, I think, in an interview with Politico. And I think we're going to have what we call here in Washington skinny aid bill that probably won't include agriculture this particular time. I hope I'm wrong on that one. It looks like they want to get it done sooner rather than later. So when the House comes in, this coming Saturday, I think that they'll sit down and negotiate. So, and then come back later. Now, later, we don't know. Some people say as soon as September that they could come back for a follow-on, another aid package. Are the closer you get to the elections, if the Democrats smell what we call a trifecta, where they'll win, they'll retain control of the House, get control of the Senate, and win the White House, I think the Democrats may want to wait until after the election because they'll have more leverage. At least that's the latest thinking here.
Well, and that's what I wondered. I mean, you like to think that people want to help people, but there's a lot of strategy behind this. So that strategy is certainly going to play out as far as when and if we even get this thing passed, right?
Well, yes, but as Secretary, Sonny Perdue told AgriTalk last Friday, there's room within the USDA budget, really, the Commodity Credit Corporation, to do some additional aid, including 2020 crops. So I think the administration has some flexibility. And trust me, history shows that President Trump will announce an aid package if he thinks one is needed.
Let's jump over to trade for a moment here. I think depending on which side of the political aisle you're down, you will say trade's going better or trade's not going so well. There's a lot of room for maybe those numbers to be interpreted different ways. Where do we stand right now, do you think, in trade, agricultural trade? We hope is getting better, but where are we at?
Well, you have to talk to continue good trade relations, and at least President Trump officially is saying he postponed what we thought was going to be a Saturday negotiation between the top leaders in the U.S. and China, Liu He for China and U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. The trade negotiators tell me they're planning to confer by video in the coming days. So I think this will still take place. Bottom line on the phase one agreement with China, my best sources, Pro Farmers China Watchers, best sources say by the end of this calendar year, we're going to see Chinese purchases of U.S. farm products in dollar terms come far closer to the $36.5 billion than many people thought going into this phase one.
Is it just simple supply and demand that's driving it, or is it policy, or is it a combination of both that you think is helping us get to there, or at least the prediction for there?
Oh, China, it's a result of their hog industry blowback, you know, with another epidemic. And two, it's their corn, not only crop, but the stocks are down, and their ferocious need, because as the China hog sector goes into far more commercialized, they used to feed it more garbage to their hogs, and they have a mandate to cut that out. Well, look what that does to the need for corn and soybeans. And that's this is not going to be a one-year phenomenon. This is going to be a continued need of China if they continue this, because they know they want to revolutionize their hog and livestock sector. And this is going to be a growth market for years to come if we don't get into a solid U.S.-China Cold War. And the verdict is out on that one because of overall U.S.-China relations right now.
There's so many variables with that, but where do you see things heading as we go to the election, as far as you mentioned this Cold War type of thing, or is that something that only happens after the election, do you think?
I think that both Democrats and Republicans, they don't agree on many things, but on the need for more aggressive stance on China, they do agree. Biden's one exception to that is he wants a better, consort with our allies, where Trump is solo. We all know that for sure. But, you know, on the elections, I like to point out that a trifecta is needed for big changes for either party. They have to win the White House, House, and Senate. That's how Obama got the Affordable Care Act in his first year, and how President Trump got his tax cuts when they had a trifecta. If you don't, not much is going to come from Congress, but changes will come, as we've seen under both Obama and Trump, via regulations and executive orders. And another line I like to use on Election Outlook is all the wild cards. Anything could happen. And for those who say no way, just consider the topsy-turvy developments that have occurred just this year.
Oh, sure. Sure. You mentioned the trifecta. So what are the chances of us having a trifecta either way, do you think, now, as we're a little over 2 months out from this election?
A far greater chance for Democrats than Republicans. It's going to be a hard row to hoe for Republicans to get the net gain of 17 seats in the House. In fact, House editor for the Cook Political Report and a personal friend of mine, you know, Dave Wasserman, he thinks that the Democrats will either stay even with the number that they have, right now, or they could gain up to 14 seats. Now, I don't personally agree with that, but that's what he's saying. The Republicans, boy, if I had to guess right now, I think it's going to be very close in the Senate. I think they'll retain control of the Senate. But I also say that in a number of states, whoever wins the presidency could win that state Senate races if they're up for reelection.
Let's look ahead a little bit, whichever way this election goes. If we have a change in party with the president, we see with the Biden presidency, as far as a change in ag policies, what would be the biggest ones do you think we would see? You mentioned there a moment ago, there's some things they do see eye to eye on.
Yeah, well, I think in Washington, there's a newer consensus on carbon credits, and that's being seen as the next revenue stream for agriculture, and I don't think that's a bad move. Now, it depends on how you operate any carbon credit program relative to any, whether you want to call it climate change policy or not. In the case of Democrats, I know Biden would consort with Senator Elizabeth Warren, either tapping her. I think she's better off for him in the Senate. But if she would be a cabinet person, would she be Treasury Secretary? I think she could be more damage for U.S. agriculture if she would be Attorney General. Reason? She would go after corporate agriculture. Big as bad as far as many Democrats. So that's one thing I think what would happen in a Biden administration. You're going to have a pickup in antitrust look, and also really looking into some big corporations.
We're looking way down the road here, but I'm sure there's chatter about this in a Biden presidency. Who's at the top of the list to be the new Secretary of Agriculture?
Well, from Delaware, Obama had Undersecretary Skuse, so he would be usually near the top of the list. Although, Biden had two key ag advisors, Tom Vilsack, former USDA secretary. So I think if he were to advise, I can't speak for him, but I know one of his former chief of staffs was Krista Harden. So I think she would also be near the top of the list. And Senator Amy Klobuchar from, Democrat from Minnesota, another key ag advisor to Biden, who really likes Senator, Klobuchar. She is very close to Pam Johnson, who is a regular member on the AgriTalk Friday panel. All those three individuals are pretty good.
If we end up with a Trump presidency again, do we see major changes in how we deal with agriculture, or will we continue with the same path?
I want to see whether Trump is more willing to put the huge amounts of money into farm policy. He likes to spend money. He's not a Republican, really. He's more of a libertarian and a populist. So that's a big question mark, whether or not he would continue. As far as cabinet, usually it's the rule where all cabinet people under existing administration that wins re-election put in their resignation, and then the president either accepts or rejects. I know he gets along quite well with Sonny Perdue. So I think it may be up to Sonny Perdue. If there are changes, the parlor game right now is a little absent for some of the names. I know Kristi Noem from South Dakota is usually bandied about, and I noted she will probably be one of the speakers when the Republicans hold their national convention. But it's really too soon right now on the Republican side. But those names that I gave you on the Democrats, I think, are pretty solid. I didn't mention Nikki Fried on the Democrat side. She's the Ag Commissioner of Florida, so she would be another one on the list. And she's speaking. She spoke, yesterday at the Democratic National Convention.
Do you think, for the most part, that our current secretary gets along pretty well with the president? You know, we have a cabinet that sometimes is in turmoil, but Secretary Perdue, they seem to have a good relationship on the outside. What do you see?
They have one on the inside as well. Trump likes traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S. And before he became ag secretary, he was a private businessman as well as governor, for the state of Georgia. And frankly, that's what helped get him picked by President Trump to begin with. He likes a person who knows risk, that any policy decision you make, there's winners and losers. And also, Sonny Perdue has an uncanny ability to say that right line and knows the right chart to show Trump sometimes why a policy decision is important for Trump-oriented states. And he's done that in the past.
So give me your outlook here. If President Trump will be president again, what needs to happen in the next 2+ months here before the election to make that happen?
He has to tell the American voters what he wants to do for a second term. Ironically, he is not really, laid it out. And I think he better start doing that in the days leading up to November 3rd. I think he will. But he has to be coherent in that list. He can't be too long, and he has to be succinct. And he has the ability to do that if he wants to. Two is he has to have that U.S. economy roar back in the third quarter like many economists think it will. So there are different ways that Trump can beat Biden despite some of these polls right now. Another one is if we have an official announcement of a vaccine. Surely it won't be available for 100% of Americans who want it, probably until the end of 2021. But just the nature of having a vaccine, I think, would give him a shot in the arm, along with pharmaceuticals to help temper the impact if you do get COVID-19. I usually say in my speeches now, you're better off checking with an epidemiologist than an election year guru to see how this election's going to pan out.
Don't you think there will be an announcement of some sort, though, about a vaccine before that election? I mean, there's got to be something because that's important, really, to both sides to win.
Well, you always look at a wild card in October. Frequently, they don't happen, but that could be one. It's going to be hard to withhold that as a surprise because of the importance of it, and to the companies that would benefit, greatly, as a result, in the country as a whole, who comes out with it. This is going to be a vicious cycle here. There's no doubt about it. Very visceral. I think the debates is another one that will be very important, because the first debate is September the 29th, and in Cleveland. Trump is counting on a poor Biden performance. If Biden does well, I think the polls will start to widen again against Trump. So I would watch that. I think that's very, very important. I don't see much in the vice presidential, debate. That's October 7th in Salt Lake City. Senator, Kamala Harris, I would reject any description of her as moderate. Throw that, text away if you get it. She's liberal, but she's not as far off the cliff left as many other Democrats in the party. I think that'll be an interesting, debate to listen to and watch, but usually a vice presidential pick can only hurt you. They can't help you all that much. The one exception being President, Johnson, who helped President Kennedy get Texas.
So I ask you what Trump needed to do in order to remain president. So what does Joe Biden need to do in order to win the presidency in just over 2 months?
Well, if it's going to be, is this a referendum on Trump, not only himself as a person, but also in his handling of the epidemic? And the first few nights of the Democratic National Convention, that was the theme right there. And I think that they'll continue that. But if it goes into another way, as the differences between the two parties, then that's going to help Trump because of the tax situation that Biden and his party will do, because Biden has proposed raising income taxes and Social Security, security taxes on wages, more than $400,000, long-term capital gains and qualified dividends subject to ordinary income taxes. By the way, that's just shy of 40% for those with income over $1 million. Now, again, that's the 1% crowd. And the step up in basis at death would be eliminated, and raising the estate exemptions for the wealthy. Now, Democrats in response say, wait a minute. He's not going to raise taxes on the lower income and up to a certain number of middle-class Americans. So this is going to be the debate to see how each support their concept of tax policy.
So, Jim, let me wind up with this. When I wake up on the morning of November 4th, where do you think we're at, or will we still be counting ballots and trying to figure out where we're at?
Right there, you hit it. Will this be election day, election week, or election month? If it's very close, I don't think we're going to know. I say sometimes, half facetiously, half, that turn on MSNBC, and if Rachel Maddow is crying, the Republicans win. If she's laughing, the Democrats win. It's that easy.
Very good, Jim. I appreciate the time. It's been an interesting conversation.
Sure, anytime.
No doubt we will get our fill of political ads, campaigns, and rhetoric for the next 2+ months, and maybe we will have some answers on November 4th. But it could be a tight race, not only nationally, but at the state and local level as well. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside on Facebook, as well as our daily radio feature, American Countryside. We're posting more info on both of those sites throughout the week, so be sure to check in with us. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.